But first, the Trump administration has laid out its provisions for allowing DACA recipients to become legal citizens. The framework allows for 1.8 million so-called Dreamers to naturalize, which is twice as many as enrolled now. But it comes with an up to 12-year wait time and limits on family-based immigration sponsorship. It also sets requirements for periods of renewal to double-check certain requirements. So how does this compare to other immigration procedures currently in place, and how much of it is being driven by politics? Immigration law expert Rick Hsu of the University of Buffalo School of Law joins us for a few minutes to talk about that. Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
So give us a comparison to other immigrant wait times and whether there is fairness there. Does it seem, if we can leave politics aside for just a few seconds, does it seem somewhat in line with what we've seen before?
So it is much longer than the traditional procedure. One thing that's been pretty consistent since the founding of the nation is the naturalization time. The wait time has been pretty consistent at 5 years. There's been some blips in the early days and some proposals, but 5 years have been pretty consistent. And in fact, the 1986 amnesty provision that legalized a lot of undocumented immigrants also kept with the 5-year restriction. So based on that, the 10 to 12 years is much longer than that. Based on what has traditionally been the standard 5 years.
Any sense of why that might be? I mean, citizenship is clearly not something that was part of the original DACA program. Is there a sense of why the wait period might be what it is?
Yeah, I think there's two. On the one hand, it might just be the way that they imagine to balancing the sort of opposing sides. There's been strong opposition mostly by the Republicans with regard to granting any citizenship status to Dreamers at all, much less giving them legal permanent status to begin with. On the other hand, this has been a strong priority on the Democratic side. So maybe from the 5-year traditional format to not getting them naturalization at all, 10 and 12 years is somewhere in the balance. And of course, there is politics. Obviously, naturalization comes with the right to vote. And historically, this has been a big impetus whenever there's been proposals to expand the naturalization time.
And Rick, we mentioned certain requirements it would set for checking things like education, work, and so-called good moral character. I mean, these are all negotiable, I suppose, at this point. But do any of those make sense, or any of those sort of new?
So it depends on what the details are. And it is interesting because even when Donald Trump sort of proposed this outline for naturalization, he did caveat it with if they do a great job. And as you mentioned, there are criminal sort of provisions, moral character provisions, financial independence is a part of it as well. Some of those are related. Criminal and moral character to some degree is a limitation with regard to people in legal permanent residency that want to naturalize. The financial independence, depending on how they structure it, may be unique. So some of this is related to what already exists, but some of it may be more expansive in the language that's being used, depending on how they negotiate it.
Rick, is it accurate to say that by limiting who immigrants can sponsor to come into the country as far as family members, does that bring this country more in line with what other large developed countries do?
In some ways, it does. So one thing that is interesting is that our country, since the liberalization in 1965, has always actually emphasized family reunification. We believed reunification of family is very important. And to be fair, some of that had a particular sort of ethnocentric racial component. We imagine that if most of the individuals here are from Europe, that the family reunification would be primarily for individuals of Europe. In a lot of other countries, they have moved increasingly from sort of a family dynamic to much more of either a point system or an employment-based dynamic. But the truth is, even people that come over as workers have families. So in some ways, although we try to make a distinction between the two, they're inextricably connected.
Rick Hsu is an immigration law expert at the University of Buffalo School of Law. Rick, thanks for the time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.